Well, good morning. Let me just pray. Thank you, Father God, for all your love to us. We thank you for your grace pouring out of heaven. We thank you for your heart's desire towards us, your purpose and your plan for saving us and filling us with your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, we're in pursuit of you, and we just want to enjoy your word, be taught, be blessed, be encouraged, but most of all, be changed. We know that today you can change us, make us new creations. Thank you, Lord. I pray that this word that I bring today, though brief, will be a blessing, will be an encouragement, and will set our eyes on pursuit of you afresh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, a new series, but not a new series. We're moving into another phase of the book of Colossians. And at the beginning of the year, it's a kind of new year, new you sort of thing, isn't it? That's the vibe that we have, everything fresh and new. And we're already looking at what we can do. And how our year can be different, hopes, maybe fears that 2021 won't be as good as we hope. We certainly can do with an improvement from 2020. But there's many things to be got out of it. There's always positive things. You know, we all recognise that there is room for improvement, not only in the world that is around us, but in us. And this is the time of year, this is the season that we're most likely to examine ourselves and bring out new promises. Maybe there are old promises that were failed from the year before. Maybe we could have a better attitude. Maybe we could be more consistent. And often what we're really looking for is something that gets inside us, something that makes life easier and better, not only for me, but for those around us. You know, we're all suffering a little bit from a lockdown shape, you know, overeating or comfort eating or not getting enough exercise, but also political frustrations, the limitations of the seasons, the job threats, even family deaths can lead us into a lethargy and cynicism. And we might even say under our breath, why bother? The promises of keeping fit in the gym of previous years or being keeping physically fit, they're good. Keeping physically fit is really good and to be recommended. But I tell you, being spiritually fit is even better than that. Let's begin to get spiritually fit. Let's make one of our promises this year, if not the main one, to be spiritually fit. Seek God first, seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added to you, we read in the Bible. Such great wisdom. You know, in the same way that you can get physically unfit, you can be spiritually unfit. It's possible, isn't it? And we've probably all been there at some point. Let's begin to get spiritually fit and so impact every area of our lives. And Colossians chapter 1 to 2, as we've gone through so far this year, has served us really well. And chapter 3 is following on where we're moving into now. Over the series, we've learned that God is unrivaled. That Jesus is unrivaled. It's taught us how our faith in Christ is a faith in the unrivaled one and him in us. That's an amazing miracle that Jesus can be in us, the unrivaled one. He's taught us how we can live a continually transformative life. Having Christ on the inside is the way to go. There's no contest with that when it's examined. We conclude that living a life in Christ and Christ in us is unrivaled in itself. We've learned about preeminence. You see, God never had to set himself up to beat standards set by other gods, so-called, movements or clever pace-setting human beings. He never had that kind of rival that suggested that he had to up his game. He was and still is and always will be way ahead of any so-called rival. He has set the standard, you see, and no one comes near him. He is, as we learned, totally and utterly unrivaled. If anything, as we go through this series, and whenever I preach, I certainly, my prayer is that as a result of listening to just a few words in a short space of time from the scriptures, that we will re-fall in love with Jesus, that we'd fall in love again with reading the word of God, that we'd fall in love again with the idea of walking with him daily and look forward to opening the scriptures and praying, even if it's a short period of time. There's an aspect to what we've been doing in Colossians that says, like, there's a title of a book, and I'm sure it comes out of scripture somewhere, that says, how should we then be? I think Schaefer wrote a book with the title, How Should We Then Be? So we read truth and we look at things that excite us, but then we have to ask ourselves, how should then we be? Given this, what difference does it make to our lives and how are we now going to live? And the book of Colossians is written to believers. And as believers, we have to take these things seriously. It was written to believers who, through the neglect of their faith, have wandered into error and become out of shape and easily influenced into further error. The more cynical we become, the more affected we become by our circumstances around us, the more open we become to error, the more open we become to just drifting away. And it seems to be a greater job to get back on track. How many of us know that if we have had periods of time when we've lost our fire and lost our light, as it were, we feel like we're just trudging through, we stop reading the very things that we ought to do more. We stop reading the scriptures. We stop pursuing God. We stop looking at things that will challenge our lives. We become out of shape, as I said, and easily influenced into further error. How should we then be? How should we then be? Chapter 3 helps us immensely with the what then. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 is our startup. It's my job to open this new season of series with these scriptures. And I love them. And they're so apt for the beginning of a new year. You know, if you're not yet a person of Christian faith and looking for truth, then there's something for you to discover here, even though it's written to Christians, established Christians. There's something for you to discover. May what follows bless you and convince you that Jesus is worth the pursuit. He is worth pursuing. There's no one like him. He is the way to go. Let's read the scriptures then. And I'm going to take a bit of a journey in this and read two or three, I think it's three different versions of this portion of scripture, just to kind of enjoy the luxury, if you like, of the balance that these three versions bring and the excitement that these three versions bring. It's a great thing to be able to do, especially if you've got that YouVersion Bible app. You can just flick into different versions and get a great all-round perspective. Okay, let's read Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, from the New Living Translation first. Okay, remember, truth, okay, you get the truth, and then you get therefore, or the how should we then live. And so off the back of this is the truth, this is where we're going. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour, at God's right hand. Okay, let's sink this, let's let this sink in. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. So it's taking for granted that you have been raised to new life with Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Look forward, not back or even to the side. Look forward. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Very definite, strong words. Think about the things of heaven. So remember, therefore, think about the things of heaven. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, my life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Oh, that's just amazing. And so we look at the same portion of scripture in the Amplified Version. I hope you'll indulge me in this. You'll just enjoy this. Just sit and listen and read and soak this in and apply it to ourselves. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, the Amplified is good because it adds to and it brings out more out of the Greek. So therefore, you've been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which only have temporal value. Do you remember? I'm just going to interject there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, The Passion Translation version says this: seek first the kingdom of God. And many Christians know this. This is a principle by which we live. It's a basic principle, but we so often forget. Let's seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things that we worry about, concerned about, that we can't seem to reach, shall be provided. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all these less important things. Often we worry more about the less important things than the most important things. Then all these less important things will be given to you. Not just given to you, but abundantly. It's just a reminder. As we read scripture through like that, we get the reminders of other scriptures. For you died to this world, it continues, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, Paul reckons that your new life is the real life. That your new real life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, I'm going to read the Passion Translation now from Colossians chapter 3. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. You get that? Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. If there's someone else in the room with you, I want you to say that to them because it's an encouragement. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. If there isn't anyone in the room with you, I'm going to say it to you and you're going to say it to me. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. It's your resurrection. Make it yours. Remember that it's yours. It's not out there somewhere as a historical fact, which it is. It's also applied to you as an individual. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. I love it. I love the way the Passion Translation puts this. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honour and authority. Did you have this vision of God and this vision of heaven? Or is it a small thing in your mind that's tacked on to the back of our lives? Sometimes that's why we grow cooler and colder and less active in our faith. Because our God isn't big enough. yearn for the things that are above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honour and authority. Not some of it, all power. Yes, feast on the treasures of all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. You see, it's okay to acknowledge, and it's right to acknowledge, you can't live in a bubble and pretend nothing is difficult, nothing difficult is going on around us or in us or part of our lives. But acknowledging it is real. That keeps us real. We have to acknowledge and accept. But we don't. What we don't have to do is imbibe it and make that our life message. That those difficulties and those problems that we're probably going to face in 2021, they're not all going to go away. I'm sorry to promise you that. But if we imbibe these things, they will take over us and switch our gaze to somewhere else. We'll look to others to comfort us. We won't look to God. We'll look to things to comfort us. We won't look to Him, who is the God of all comfort. And now your life, sorry, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. Wow. What a problem. Where else do you read this stuff? Nowhere else. I thought a lot about that phrase at the end, and Christ himself is seen for who he really is, and who you really are will also be revealed. And I thought, well, surely, because I know that a lot of this is written in what is known as the aorist tense, and those of you who know Greek, well, ancient Greek, will know there are different tenses, and I'm not going to go into all that, but the aorist tense does make a difference. It means it talks about something that's happened, rounded off, finished and completed, but has an ongoing effect. That's very different to something that happened and stayed like it, isn't it? It's very different. So if we see this in the aorist sense, it means that there's something about this death and this resurrection in you and me that has an ongoing effect. And often I thought, oh, how do I apply that? How do I see that at work? And I remember many times, and I mean recently really, when you talk about Jesus to someone who doesn't believe, and if you're not a believer today or you're not sure where you are with this, there's a reason why you're here. And quite often you've seen Christ in someone and it's drawn you. You didn't know it was Jesus, but it's drawn you to think more, to pursue. How many times I've talked about Jesus to people and they've said to me, do you know what? I've got a guy I used to work with, a woman I used to work with, a woman I used to meet in the shop. In fact, in our own church, I've heard people talk about a person they met in the shop. I'm not going to mention your name. You probably know who you are. And was impressed by the attitude and the lifestyle and what came across. And that person wasn't aware of that. She was just being who she is. But this is Christ himself being seen for who he really is in you and me. What a great way of reproducing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's clear to you. But you are one with him in his glory. His glory, not yours. You see, you don't really know it's happening. You're just giving out your love and your life to men and women. And you don't realize that God is inhabiting you and speaking to others and leading them to himself through you. It's people observe the choices you make. People observe the words you use. People recognize you don't swear, you're not like the others. You don't talk about vain hopes. You actually, there's something about your life that offers substance and reality, but they don't always know. People don't always know what it is. But it's this glory of God that you share with him that draws people into the pursuit. Let's face it, no one else has died and risen again. No one else has provided a lifeline that courses through trials, philosophies, disappointments, and even devastations. The concept of, if this is the truth, then this is how we should live, comes out in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. I'm going to read that to you now. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. What confidence he had to say that. So let's think for 2021. If we can do just this thing, brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix our thoughts on what is true, what is honourable, what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. So many things are an alternative to that drag us into a different way of thinking. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And when the God of peace is with you, you have something extra to offer to others. Well, that's it. My time's up. But I really I want to remind you that Ralph is speaking next week, and he's going to be looking at the really tough therefores. I've just set the scene, really. Talks about putting to death the sinful and earthly things lurking within us. That's quite something. But we're just paving the way for that. I'm going to ask Margaret to come and pray for us as we finish the meeting this morning. Come this way. Thanks. Let's pray.
Father God, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for your Son that you sent to die for us, to give us life, to save us, to redeem us, Lord. We thank you for all your goodness, and we trust you for what's ahead of us. Mm. Oh God, in this day, this season that we're in, we just want to come before you and take in all that we've heard this morning about your glory in us, Lord, and you shining through us and us making a difference. Oh, Father, I just pray that you will come and do that, that you will bless this church. Lord, I just pray specifically right now for Raglan Road Christian Church. I ask you to bless them. Lord, may your face shine upon them and may you give them their peace. Oh, Father, that's what I pray for 2021, that your face will shine upon us and that you will give us your peace. And, Lord, that we will make a difference in our communities, in our families, in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please remember to look at your emails and keep updated. God bless.
God bless.